If I were to ask you to use one word to describe God's nature, what word would you use?
Now, right away, some people will say love or compassion. Some might say powerful or just. And that's true. God is all of those things. But none of them alone fully describe the real nature of God. There is only one word that does describe the totality of God's nature, and that word is holiness. Our God is a holy God. None of the other pagan gods or goddesses that I'm aware of ever claimed to be holy. In fact, according to the mythology of these gods and goddesses, they show the same human sinful tendencies that we have, which tells me that they are more than likely a product of human imagination. You see, humans would not imagine a holy God. Holiness does not come naturally to us. It takes an act of God. And God alone is holy, and that means that he is perfectly righteous, perfectly just, perfectly loving, perfectly compassionate. He is perfect in power, perfect in thought, word, and deed. God is also without blemish, without sin, without lies, without any trace of evil. God is without defect of character or wrong motives or selfishness. Our God is a holy God. And before we can launch into Revelation chapter 15, 16, 17, and 18, we need to grasp the fact that because God is holy, anything and everything he does is right. And we need to keep that in mind because in these next four chapters, we are going to see God's judgment and destruction. And this is something that many Christians don't want to acknowledge or even think about. We like to hear about God the Father being loving and compassionate and forgiving. But friends, a God that never inflicts judgment is not the God of Scripture. A God that never inflicts judgment is nothing but an idol of our own making. Now, I've heard some conservative theologians refer to this as a Santa Claus theology of God, where God is always happy and jolly and he wants everyone to feel good and have exactly what they want. But a Santa Claus theology of God the Father cannot cope with the reality of evil and suffering and injustice. Only a holy God can cope with the reality of evil, injustice, and suffering. And so with that in mind, let's take a look at Revelation chapter 15, verses 1 through 4 to begin. I saw in heaven another great and marvelous sign, seven angels with the seven last plagues, last because with them God's wrath is completed. And I saw what looked like a sea of glass with fire, and standing beside the sea, those who had been victorious over the beast and its image, and over the number of its name. They held harps given them by God, and sang the song of God's servant Moses and of the Lamb. Great and marvelous are your deeds, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, King of the nations. Who will not fear you, Lord, and bring glory to your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. So at this point, those who were saved during the tribulation and were martyred for their faith because they refused to worship the image of the beast or take the mark of the beast, they are now in heaven. And as I read this passage, as I read chapter 15, I got an image in my mind. I got the image of a stadium. A sports stadium. I imagine that it's game day, and evil is going to be crushed and destroyed, and the people of God are gathering in the grandstand to watch this spectacle happen, to watch evil and injustice and suffering to be destroyed. And at verses 3 through 4, it says that they were given harps by God, and they sang a song. You know, great and marvelous are your deeds, Lord God Almighty, just and true are your ways. You know, this is something like a fight song that we would sing at say, a football game. But you see, worldly fight songs glorify the players. But in this instance, the song glorifies God. And so now the team is ready to take the field. And here's what that looks like. I'll be reading Revelation 15, verses 5 through 8. After this, I looked, and I saw in heaven the temple, that is, the tabernacle of the covenant law, and it was opened. Out of the temple came the seven angels with the seven plagues. They were dressed in clean, shining linen and wore golden sashes around their chest. Then one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls filled with the wrath of God, who lives forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no one could enter the temple until the seven plagues of the seven angels were completed. Now the martyrs are going to see their blood avenged. Now, once again, I got an image in my head, and I would like to think that these images were inspired by the Holy Spirit. But the image I got in my head as I read verses 5 through 8 came from a memory when I was in eighth grade. I walked out of school, and I walked around the corner of the gym to go home. And as I rounded the corner, I noticed a commotion of a large crowd forming. And when I investigated, I found out that the two biggest bullies in school were going to fight each other. And regardless of who won or lost, we all knew that they were both going to get a beating laid on them. And all of us wanted to see that happen. Now, I'm sure we all have a story of a time when we saw someone get their comeuppance. So keep in mind that these martyrs, who were the victims of the ultimate bullies of all time, the Antichrist and the false prophet, are going to see their blood avenged. But also keep in mind that unless you have really truly been persecuted for your faith, you cannot possibly understand this. And it may even be disturbing. Now let's take a look at chapter 16. And here's where God's final judgment takes place, where the angels pour out their bowls. Revelation chapter 16, verses 1 through 7. Then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, "Go pour out the seven bowls of God's wrath on the earth." The first angel went and poured out his bowl on the land, and ugly festering sores broke out on the people who had the mark of the beast and worshipped its image. The second angel poured out his bowl on the sea, and it turned into blood like that of a dead person, and every living thing in the sea died. The third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and springs of water, and they became blood. Then I heard the angel in charge of the waters say, "You are just in these judgments, O holy God, you who are and who were, for they have shed the blood of your holy people and your prophets, and you have given them blood to drink as they deserve." And I heard the altar respond, "Yes, Lord God Almighty, true and just are your judgments." Now, these first three bowls of the judgment seem to avenge the blood of the martyrs. And at verse 7, where it says, "And I heard the altar respond, 'Yes, Lord God Almighty, true and just are your judgments.'" These are the souls of the martyred saints who were kept under the altar in heaven. If you remember, back in chapter 6, when the fifth seal was broken, these martyred souls who are kept under the altar of heaven cried out, and they said this, "When he," that is Jesus, "when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and their testimony they had maintained. They cried out in a loud voice, 'How long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood?' Then each of them was given a white robe, and they were told to wait a little longer." Now their blood has been avenged. They have waited patiently, and it has now happened. Now, Revelation chapter 16, verses 8 through 11. "The fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and the sun was allowed to scorch people with fire. They were seared by the intense heat, and they cursed the name of God who had control over these plagues, but they refused to repent and glorify him. The fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and its kingdom was plunged into darkness. People gnawed their tongues in agony and cursed the God of heaven because their pains and their sores, but they refused to repent of what they had done." You know, in the past, God sent his judgment not only to vindicate the oppressed, but also to get the world's attention and to give them a chance to repent. But even in the face of divine judgment, the people who are left do not repent. And it shouldn't surprise us that people don't repent. When I was researching this for this sermon, I read a story of a man who had survived a plane crash. Now, he said that in the story that he always assumed that people who were about to die would cry out to God for mercy in their final moments. But he noted that as the plane was going down, he noted that he heard many people respond with cursing rather than crying out to God. And they were simply following the habits that they had spent their lifetime developing. So it really shouldn't come as much of a surprise to us that some people simply will not repent. Now, Revelation chapter 16, verses 12 through 14. The sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up to prepare the way for the kings from the east. Then I saw three impure spirits that looked like frogs. They came out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. They are demonic spirits that perform signs, and they go out to the kings of the whole world to gather them for battle on the great day of God Almighty. You see, the Euphrates River always offered a natural protective barrier for Israel from being attacked from the very powerful empires in the east. Now that river has dried up, it now opens up the way for the attack. And the Antichrist and the false prophet see an opportunity to destroy God's people. And so they send word to these warlords in the east. And that's what those frogs out of their mouth represented. It was a propaganda that we can take over God's people. Now that the river Euphrates is no longer there, let's go and attack. And the way this will turn out is God is going to lure these empires into a trap. Now, at the area of Armageddon, all the forces of evil are going to be assembled, and they will be wiped out in one fell swoop. And that's why at verse 15 and 16, Jesus reminds us that of his surprise return. He says, "I am coming at an hour you don't expect," and the battle of Armageddon will more than likely be that occasion. Now let's take a look at Revelation chapter 17. This is basically a retelling of the seven bowl judgments from a different perspective. I'll just read the first six verses and then I'll summarize the rest. "One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and said to me, 'Come, I will show you the punishment of the great prostitute who sits by many waters. With her, the kings of the earth committed adultery, and the inhabitants of the earth were intoxicated by the wine of her adulteries.' Then the angel carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. There I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast that was covered with blasphemous names and had seven heads and ten horns. The woman was dressed in purple and scarlet and was glittering with gold, precious stones, and pearls. She held a golden cup in her hand, filled with the abominable things and the filth of her adulteries. The name written on her forehead was a mystery: Babylon the Great, the mother of prostitutes and the abominations of the earth. I saw that the woman was drunk with the blood of God's holy people, the blood of those who bore testimony to Jesus." Here's just a quick summary of what chapter 17 is really saying. When we let other things take the place of God, in other words, an idol, in the heart and mind of God the Father, that is the equivalent of committing adultery. And you know, friends, anyone who has ever had a spouse cheat on them will tell you about the unbearable hurt and pain and anger that that creates. And this is how God reacts when he is not number one in our life. And that hurt and pain and anger is given voice in Revelation chapter 18. And here God is venting those feelings of being betrayed. So let me read to you just a few verses from chapter 18, verses 10 through 4. "Then I heard another voice from heaven," and this is God the Father speaking, "'Come out of her, my people,'" that is, the whore of Babylon, "'come out of her, my people, so that you will not share in her sins, so that you will not receive any of her plagues. For her sins are piled up to heaven, and God has remembered her crimes. Give back to her as she has given. Pay her back double for what she has done. Pour her a double portion from her own cup. Give her as much torment and grief as the glory and luxury she gave herself. In her heart she boasts, 'I sit enthroned as queen. I am not a widow. I will never mourn.' Therefore, in one day her plagues will overtake her, death, mourning, and famine. She will be consumed by fire, for mighty is the Lord our God who judges her." So God gives voice to that unbearable hurt, pain, and anger of being betrayed by his own people. And it's much like the betrayal of a spouse. Now, this brings me back to the subject of holiness. You see, not only is God the Father holy, he also calls us to be holy as well. At Leviticus chapter 19, verses 1 and 2, it says this, "Be holy, because I, the Lord your God, am holy." And then in verses 3 through 37 of Leviticus chapter 19, tells us how to pursue holiness in our life. And here's my pastoral advice. I want you to go and look at Leviticus chapter 19 this week. Now, those verses 3 through 37 that tell us how to pursue holiness, it's a long list of don'ts. And a few of them will be difficult to understand, and one or two probably does not apply to us any longer. But the rest of the verses are crystal clear. I want you to go and look at Leviticus chapter 19 this week. And I want you to evaluate how well you are pursuing holiness. And this will give you a good idea of how ready you are for Christ's return. Because in light of all of these judgments of God, I want to be ready for Jesus' return. And being ready means that we are actively pursuing holiness in our life. Amen.